T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Minutes from right now at 1:18, Chelsea Janes, who covers the Nats for the Washington Post, was on the air with Chris Russell and made a comment that was interesting, that Bryce Harper may not have been the biggest Dusty Baker fan in the clubhouse. Now, she was quick to clarify and said that she didn't think there was any rift, or that he didn't. She wasn't saying that he disliked Dusty, but it's an interesting comment. We're going to play you the audio and let you guys kind of decide for yourselves. And I think it's major as far as a storyline here, and it's relevant because the Learners want to keep Bryce Harper around post-Dusty Baker. And if in some way they went to Bryce, and this is all speculation, but they said, hey, what do you think of Dusty? And he's like, yeah, I just don't know. And they think he might be more inclined to sign a long-term deal. I think that's a story. But this is someone who covers the team every day who said something about this, so we'll play that audio coming up in about 12 minutes.
And keep in mind with this, and I know we're talking about something else here, but keep in mind, Bryce was outspoken to the point he didn't have to be about Matt Williams.
Yes, he was.
That's why this jumps out at me, because if he's just, you know, he wasn't that big a fan of the guy, it's not that big of a deal. But there's a dichotomy where a guy that clearly couldn't do it was let go, and that ticked Bryce off, or he wasn't happy
with
it.
Which is why, frankly, I don't care generally what players think of coaches or managers. I just don't. As long as they don't refuse to play for the guy, or they don't like him to the point where they don't respect him enough to give you 100% effort, which might be a bigger problem with the player. But Bryce was asked after the game, again, we'll get into this next segment, about Dusty Baker after Game 5, and he did not do what he did with Matt Williams, where he endorsed him and basically said how much he liked Matt Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He said, oh, that has nothing to do with me. That's a decision made upstairs. He had a chance to endorse Dusty Baker. A lot of the veterans, and I don't know if they did or didn't, but absolutely would have if given that opportunity. Worth, Zimmerman, Murphy, I'd assume. Bryce did not. So it leaves us to kind of read between some tea leaves. We could get into that next segment here on Grant and Danny.
Let's do that.
Wanted to hit on what this Redskins loss means. So Nats fans, hang tight till about quarter after one. I know you wanted to discuss the loss to the Eagles and how much it changed things for you.
So you weren't favored in this game. You shouldn't have won it. Everybody kind of knows that. You were banged up in so many spots. A lineman was down every other play. Members of your secondary are the walking wounded. We know the score. We know how this all happened. You were not favored to win the football game, and nor should you have been. But at a certain point, you've got to punch above your weight class once and get one that you shouldn't if you want to have the kind of season you want to have. The Redskins have done this so many times over, and the analogy that I always use is where you go, you could pay $100 right now and have the bill solved, or you can wait a little while and eventually pay $200, but you're going to have to pay the bill. And the Redskins every year push the bill down the line, so it becomes harder and harder to do. And sometimes they do it. Sometimes they come up with the cash. They borrow it from a friend or kind of whatever else.
They did
right?
It in 05.
Yeah, you've got the
5-game winning streak. Go 7. 4-game winning streak.
When I went and bought a house, bought my residence, I was tempted by all these adjustable rate things. By the way, this is what they should teach in college, the first thing you set foot on campus. I don't care about geology or some stupid art class or whatever else, the old classical the method of education. General curriculum stuff sucks. Teach people how to do a mortgage. I had no idea because I was tempted. They dangle these
balance
little things.
The checkbook.
They dangle these little things in front of me, Grant, where they go, it's an adjustable rate. You know how cheap the rate is initially? You can get it at like 1%, 2%. And I'm going, that sounds really good. I don't pay very much. And then later on down the line, that payment balloons, and then you get kicked out of your home. I said, no. Give me the standard thing where it's always the same. I don't want to kick the can down the road. The Redskins always choose that adjustable rate, where initially it's you can lose and whatever, but the idea is you're going to make it up later. They force themselves to have to make it up later. They force themselves into a position where they now have to go on a run
at
some point.
Well, you beat Dallas at home, you basically made up for it already, though. And you're over 500 at 7-game point. You're 4-3.
With 3 games against division leaders coming up, Minnesota at Seattle,
right,
and New Orleans.
But 2-2 through these 4 is kind of realistic, what we always said they need to do to be online for a 9, maybe, best case scenario, 10-win season.
But you made it so you had to do one of these. You made it.
Yeah.
So you if you reasonably just break up these segments, these next 4 games, It's not unreasonable to go 1-3, especially on the road at Seattle, especially against Minnesota, who's probably your kryptonite right now.
You'd be 5-4 at the end of that tunnel.
You make it so.
If you had won against the Eagles.
Yeah, so I mean, whatever analogy you want to use, you're flipping a coin. If you flip it heads, it's got to be tails at some point, but you made the second flip have to be tails. You now have to do this. And that's kind of my point here with the Redskins. There's very little, hey, we've got some room here. Last year, they had some room and they squandered it. Last year was the first time where they were in the middle of the season in a good place. It led me to say something really stupid that Tommy pulls out of the audio vote every once in a while, where I actually said out loud the Washington Redskins are good. I can't believe I did that. That was so stupid. But that was the last time in some time that they've had room to play with. Now, they squandered that room with losses, and I believe it was 4 of their last 6 games. But here you basically said, hey, the payment's due, but we're going to defer later, and we're going to have to make it up at some point. Well, when is it? Is it when your guys are healthy? Because that ain't now. Is it when you're going to play Denver? Who knows what they're going to be? It's when you're going to play the Giants. Who knows what's going to happen with them if they fire their coach midseason, get a dead cat bounce. And my point is, they don't harvest their nuts, and they didn't this week. And again, it's not a game that they should have won. But to me, you just made it really hard on yourself.
Yeah, of course.
Going 3-3.
There's no denying that. I mean, but I think that was going to be the case coming in. I had them at 7-9 before the year. I never had delusions of they would be able to coast down the stretch. When you're an 8-8 type team like they are,
this is what happens.
The last few seasons, this is what it looks like. You're always right around 500, and you're always in need of a run in December to get in. That's how it goes. You had them at what, 5-11?
I thought it'd be a 5-11 disaster because of the schedule.
So they're going to probably exceed both of our expectations. At this moment, they are on pace to do better than either of us thought they were going to. Now, I'm not going to give them extra credit or brownie points for that necessarily. Depending on how the rest of the year goes, if they're 8-8, there's a way that at 8-8 I could feel really good. If they're 8-8 and they're as banged up as they are now the rest of the way and mm-hmm. they don't lose more games than they win with this schedule, I'll probably feel content and I can look back and say, well, darn, if they just had a couple of those offensive linemen against Seattle or if they just had a couple of those defensive pieces they were missing against the Cowboys, maybe they would have taken that game at FedEx.
Now, you and I think, are capable of that kind of analysis. I think a lot of fans are, too. But remember, we're not dealing with rational when it comes to the Washington Redskins. Remember who we're dealing with. How do you think they'll react? And this is the thing I always say.
But what way?
This, to me, is the sort of Damocles hanging over the Redskins' heads at all times. Always remember who is in charge. Always remember that they didn't like the way Scott McLuhan was getting so much credit. So everybody now bristles. They bristle over the idea that they were 2 games over .500, basically, for a couple years, and everybody's supposed to, you know, give them a parade, and they want all this credit for just being okay, just being fine. And now they were upset that someone else was getting it, right? We've had those things kind of come out.
Let me ask you this, though. When you say, well, how are they going to react, what do you mean? I mean, Jay Gruden's safe.
You would think again, but
I mean that's a thing. And if they go 8-8, Jay Gruden's not going anywhere.
Well, if they have another win in your in game against a team that isn't very good and they lose it again, I mean, think about it. Bruce wouldn't let that crap go.
Yeah, but there's no way they would get rid of Jay Gruden at 8-8.
I will not say everything's off the table with the Redskins. Now, for me, reasonably, I wouldn't do it. Of course not, given the injuries and everything else.
They haven't blown out a coach. Joe Gibbs left on his own accord before Jim Zorn, who got blown out. You go back to Shanahan, 2013. Jay Gruden, the Nats have gone through 3 managers since he got here. They gave him an extension this offseason. I mean, they've actually conducted themselves more like adults, not because Dan's changed, but because Bruce babysits him fairly well in this regard.
Well, let me counter that. I think they gave him that extension because they were trying to gather some good PR with the whole Scott McLuhan not being an Indianapolis fiasco.
But it doesn't change the fact that it makes it harder to fire him, and you're not going to do that if you finish 500 or better for the third straight season for the first time since the 90s.
Again, what you're saying is reasonable, and I'm not disagreeing with it.
But I'm also...
We're dealing with unreasonable people.
I know, but it's the most realistic thing for them to do also. I'm just saying, could they fire Jay Gruden? Yes, the chances of that are 5% if they go 8-8. I mean, they're tiny.
If they're at 8-7, and they play at the Giants with a chance to get in the postseason, and they lose that game, and this is a tiny, tiny scenario here. I'm putting it through the keyhole. I'm Billy Packering this thing. If that happens again, and Bruce can't let it go, who's to say that anybody's safe? My point is, they bet on themselves. They told us that they didn't need Scott McLuhan, and he was more of a problem than he was a positive thing. All the same guys that have been in the building for so long, they're the geniuses. They're the guys that got us a couple games over .500. Congrats. I'll be there right at the parade down Pennsylvania Avenue for it. If it doesn't work out, and you've asked for more credit and more responsibility, those irrational people over there that are in charge, someone's going to be punished for it if it doesn't work out.
Tim Bontemps of the Washington Post on the Wizards and the Lakers at 1:30. Let's do this next. Chelsea Janes was a guest of Chris Russell here on The Fan. There's a great story written at thefandc.com on her comments about Dusty Baker's dismissal. She had something really fascinating to say about what Bryce Harper may have thought about Dusty Baker. This is something you guys are going to want to hear next on Grant and Danny.
Folks, Danny Ruya here for my pals at Tedbird Ford, Fairfax, Chantilly. Fairfax, Chantilly, Fairfax, and Chantilly. Those are the two spots that you can go, unless you want to go online, tedbird.com. But if you want to go personal location style, talk to somebody out there at Tedbird Ford. Fairfax has been there almost 60 years. You know how they do it? Because they do it better than everybody else. They make the deals the other guys can't because they've got the stock, they've got the prices, and they got the salespeople. They want your business, and they will earn it. Here's how. You get your Tedbird for life. What is that? Not just lip service, not just something that you say. It's great customer care for life. Anything new, pre-owned, doesn't matter. Less than 100,000 miles, you get it. Tedbird for life. It's lifetime vehicle coverage. Powertrain, the big stuff, right? Something big goes wrong, fix it for you. They also do little things. Little things like Virginia State inspection. You don't know driving around. Oh, honey, that gas station only has three people in line. I'll just go wait there. Nope, you don't have to do that. Drive it right in, drive it right out. They'll handle it for you. They also do windshield replacement. You crack your windshield. Oh, just file a claim with the insurance company. I don't know why this is a Midwestern person. I file a claim with the insurance company, hon. 68 weeks later, they'll get it appraised. Nope. Take it to Tedbird Ford. They'll fix it for you. They're the best. I love them, and you will too. Go see them and tell them Danny sent you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.